Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalage begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Darmalar's podcast.
Put on his levels.
I'm watching my levels for the first time ever. So, for those of you that are joining us for the first time, that's what it looks like when I can see what my voice is doing.
Once again, no engineer, but this time I decided to go without the headphones.
Yeah, this, because for the past couple of weeks, Ralph's been hearing me and himself in an echo, like we've been having this conversation in a canyon.
And I, for some reason, the echo was 5 seconds later this week. So I was like, you know what? It's picking up the sound. Let's go for it.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Echo. Oh, hey, guys. It's the Darmalar's Podcast. This is Ben.
And Ralph.
And we like to talk about, you know, what it takes to make a podcast before we even say who we are.
Not a whole lot. But
not a lot, to be honest with you.
But
I'm not breaking my back.
Sometimes more than others. I don't know. I told Ben I think it was only like maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, I decided, hey, we should make a template in GarageBand.
Yeah, it was like,
so that we don't have to go through all the rigmarole before we do each podcast.
Because every week it's been like a hit or miss, like, what if I click this button or what if I select this option?
It's never the same. For some reason, GarageBand likes to do whatever it does.
Well, it's Apple. It's organic. You know, it moves. It flows.
Low every week, but there's two episodes of the Darmalars being recorded on a template that finally works.
Yay. We got it just in time.
So there you go. There you have it.
I want to ask you how your week was, but I don't know if that's a can of worms.
It's not a can of worms.
Okay, then let me ask.
I would say instead of can of worms, I would say cup of shit. That boils my week down to what it is.
A cup of shit? Just add hot water?
Yeah.
Have
I mentioned the stomach nuts before on the show?
No, I don't think you mentioned stomach nuts.
I think I might have.
Okay, but I don't think you called it that.
No, but we were talking about how the lactose intolerant thing.
Yeah.
Had an attack on Wednesday morning.
At
3 in the 3 morning.
3 a.m.
Which is usually the time it's like. Every time it happens at 3 in the morning. But this time it was bad, like really bad.
You were hurting.
Enough to where Stevie took me to their emergency room.
He's okay, everyone.
And no, I'm not. He's dead. Died.
This is me and a Ouija board.
But no, I am fine. And
your Ouija band.
It's funny because I had a doctor's appointment that day to check it out.
Which was, so like you couldn't have waited 8 hours.
No.
Of course not.
I should have set up my doctor's appointment for
3:45,
knowing my history of my 3 a.m. wake-up calls.
Did you end up still going to the doctor's appointment?
Yes, because the emergency room really didn't do much to help me,
other than
make sure I wasn't going to die.
Of course not. I mean,
so they checked my heart, they checked everything, but they did tell me that I am in awesome health.
Did they?
My blood pressure is great.
Nice.
All my blood work was really great. Everything's great.
So
except for the
get over it,
keeling over, crying for an hour in the middle of the night.
I guess they didn't test for that.
With my apparently. Nuts hurting. I ended up. I came home, slept for about an hour, got up, went to the normal doctors, and
so you went from a situation where possibly a bus full of plague could have crashed into the lobby. At an ER.
Yes.
And then you went to a situation where possibly a sarcastic doctor with a limp could have made you really, really sick before he made you better.
I don't know.
That's Dr.
House. I don't
House.
Like House. I've never seen an episode, and apparently I've made my opinion on him.
You've got to have seen some doctor show.
Yeah.
That's not ER.
Scrubs.
I hate Scrubs.
I don't think I like a single doctor show.
Maybe the doctor would make you laugh through halfway through the appointment, and then he'd make you cry near the end. He'd tell you something sad at the end of the appointment.
How about the doctor's a kid and then blogs about me at the end of each episode?
There you go. That would work.
So anyway, I'm okay. the doctor told me it's probably stress, which I don't even want to get into that, which makes sense because my previous attack was the day before I had jury duty, doctor's appointment, and dentist appointment in the same day.
And which are all stress factors.
Yeah, which means ulcer. So, yes, that's good. I'm glad it's an ulcer.
That's,
not,
that's something to know.
They tested. They did a x-ray, which my mom said, you're going to like the guy. He reminds her of Sawyer, which if Lost was a thing that really happened, this would be what Sawyer was.
This is the closest.
He wouldn't be a teen heartthrob, but he would be a definitely Southern guy.
This is a more realistic Sawyer.
That was fun. Got the x-ray.
And
it's not gallstones. I don't have gallstones.
Well, that's good.
I mentioned that on a podcast.
Yeah, you were hoping that it was going to be that.
I totally don't have that. I'm pretty sure it's not lactose intolerant, so I'm going to go probably drink a milkshake this weekend.
If the milkshake makes you less stressed, then you could have been avoiding the cure all this time.
I know. But I have to make an appointment for two more tests.
Which will
just
each...
Just to make sure. It's a whole thing just to make sure.
And each thing
one's an ultrasound.
Oh, that's fun.
So
that's right.
Yeah. And the other is they're going to knock me out and stick a camera down my throat.
You know, to tell you the God's honest truth, as someone who's been there, I'd rather have it down my throat.
You know what? Everybody said that to me this week, but I don't care where they stick the camera. It's the third test that bugs me, which is shitting in a cup.
Yes. That we're talking about some serious shit here, but yeah, Rob's going to have to shit in a cup.
And it's funny because it's one of those little cups that you pee in.
I had to fill a cup with shit one time,
and
too.
And the bag they give you is a Ziploc bag with plastic. Well, good. Maybe you could tell me logistically how I could shit in a cup without getting throw up in it also.
Okay, here's what you do is you take like a trash can, like a bathroom-style trash can, and you put like a garbage bag in it or like a grocery bag.
Okay.
And then you shit in that, and then you transfer it from the bag into the cup. Now, either they gave you a little spoon. I think they gave me like a little shit spoon that you throw away. And then you take that bag of shit and take it out to the trash can when you're done. The dumpster. Like, don't put it in your kitchen.
That's gross.
Yeah. It's not a fun process. You're dealing with your own crap. But at least it's your own crap. You know why they gave you a Ziploc bag?
It doesn't matter. I'm still going to want to puke.
Yeah, you are.
Well, the Ziploc bag, I'm assuming, is for transporting in case some gets on the outside.
No, they gave you a Ziploc bag because if they gave you a paper bag, you would never make it to the hospital with that crap. You just light it on someone's porch.
Well, I was going to light the Ziploc bag on the porch anyway. It's like, fuck you guys.
You're like, I'm sorry. This is the only way I knew how to deliver crap. I'm sorry, doctors.
It's the year 2007.
Can't they just...
Isn't there any way they can get my crap?
They can listen to this. if they like your crap so much, just subscribe to the Dharma Lars.
Anybody who has had to do this before, I mean, just call.
Just call. Tell us about your crap. We just bared our souls. I don't normally talk about
Stevie. I told Stevie I'm going to do it Wednesday.
You probably will.
That's what I decided was Wednesday.
Put the cup in your pants and watch the finale.
Shit myself.
Thanks, Lost. I crapped my pants.
I just don't know.
It sucks.
There's got to be a better way.
No.
While I'm knocked out with a scope in my throat,
just
take a look at my shit.
Yeah.
Go farther.
Just feed you really a lot of food right before they give you the anesthetic, and then you'll probably
sit on their
yourself.
Table.
Yeah.
So then now I have a cold.
Yay.
I've had a cold for the past 2 days.
Well, guess who finished his Excel class last night?
Me.
You did? Well, congratulations.
I did.
How'd it go?
Wait. No, I'm not going to take it because I have a feeling that you're wanting me to fish you a line. I was going to ask you, how'd you do in your class?
I excelled. No, I did all right. At the end there, it got kind of tough because the work's been really busy lately, so I didn't really get to do a lot of the homework that I would like to do, but it's done. And no, my next class is American Cinema.
But that's cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But
you want to borrow Navy SEALs?
I think that's like the first 2 weeks is all about Navy SEALs.
It should be. The first thing you know, and if people don't get it by then, they're out.
Yeah, that's right. It's like a litmus test.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
What kind of movies would you think you're going to be? I mean, Citizen Kane. Probably.
I assume, yeah, like Citizen Kane, or maybe Hitchcock, or does he count? Isn't he like British?
I just realized he was British recently. Like,
really?
I know he did a bunch of British films, but I didn't realize his accent was British. He talks so slow,
yeah,
and so monotone
that
I never realized he was British. Now I need to go actually listen to him to see if. That's the
See if
case.
You can tell. Yeah, he's like, it's almost like it's just a regular accent that a guy is just putting a lot of effort into. But no, it's kind of British.
Wow.
It's weird. But I guess it would count as American cinema because he made movies here in America.
Yeah.
you know.
Well, he has definitely British films and American films.
Yeah.
And American cinema, I'm assuming, is films made in America.
Yeah, the better ones. Yeah.
Unless it totally means American
directors.
Only.
Well, you know what? I will report on it here and let you know how it went.
Like, is Superman Returns American cinema? It was shot in Australia, but it was funded by Warner Brothers.
That's a good point, yeah.
I guess you'll learn.
I will learn. Maybe that.
I bet you that's the first day, as they tell you.
No, that'll be the final.
What makes American cinema?
The first
American
day is cinema. Navy SEALs. The final is you have to tell them. It's like a multiple choice.
The which final is Superman Returns.
You have to drag the magnets on a map to America or the rest of the world. Where's this movie go?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, something to do.
I have
summer course.
That movie RoboCop was made in America.
Yeah.
That's Criterion Collection.
That's
so. That's probably going to be shown in your class. That movie's awesome.
It is.
I just had RoboCop on the mind. Mike Allred, the creator of Madman, posted his top 10 favorite Criterion movies.
That's cool.
On the Criterion webpage. So Ralph wins with that email when he got his Criterion newsletter.
How many of those 10 do you own?
7.
That's a good percentage.
He cheated.
What?
Hard Boiled and The Killer.
Uh-huh.
He put his one, the two John Woo movies, Brazil and Time Bandits, he put his one.
What?
Yeah.
He did cheat. So wait, you have 7 out of 12?
Number 10 was Rushmore and the rest of the Criterion Collection.
So he
maybe have mentioned, I would say 14, but still.
You still have?
We still have seven of those. I don't really have, I mean, I have a lot of Criterion Collection
you do.
Movies, but.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I know sometimes you look for, like, you buy Criterion movies sometimes unseen. Like, you've never seen the
film. Yeah, a lot of them, actually.
Would you do that with the ones that he discussed?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the ones he mentioned was The Man Who Fell to Earth, which is a David Bowie film.
Yeah.
Stevie loves David Bowie, and
so you might
we would
say
probably just buy that. Cause
Criterion.
Criterion, because Criterion, I don't think I've ever seen a Criterion movie that I don't like.
Right. It's like a brand name that you can trust.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. And even if I don't like it, like, the features are interesting and make me learn a lot.
Right.
I guarantee you that your professor or the instructor at your American cinema class will have some movies that are available on Criterion.
I guarantee it.
Like Michael Bay's The Rock or Armageddon.
Right, exactly.
The great thing about Criterion, though, is, like, even though they do have The Rock and Armageddon, if you read the liner notes, it makes it make sense.
They explain why
why it's there, and you totally go for it. Sure.
Sure. Oh, I buy it now.
Yeah.
Well, I have Chasing Amy, which is apparently Criterion.
That was a transfer from the Laserdisc days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently, Baron Munchausen was on Criterion Laserdisc and never made its way to DVD.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I guess it didn't make the cut.
Well, I mean, it's all rights. They have to get rights.
Oh. See, again. I look at things like that, and I'm looking at the wrong side of the picture. I'm like thinking, oh, was it worth it artistically? But there's a lot of legality that goes into making these DVDs, like a lot more than artistically.
Yeah. RoboCop's not available anymore because
of
they
the rights.
Lost the rights. They had the rights for so long to put it out.
Does this somehow influence special features, do you think? The same thing? Like, you know how sometimes a DVD will come out? Like the Flash Gordon one. That's coming out. It's not really that packed.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I wonder. Just that they don't have any material, you know? Motoro.
I have no idea.
It's interesting. We should ask those guys at Comic-Con this year if they're here.
The Digital Bits guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be there.
We'll say, hey, what influences the special features available on a DVD?
I'm going to ask them what it takes to win one of their goddamn contests.
Serial. Because
I can't win a fucking DVD from those guys for anything.
No luck at all?
I've been trying for years. Anyway.
Do you want to talk about the television show?
Yeah, let's talk about the television show.
Okay.
All right.
This week on Lost.
This was episode 21.
Yes.
And it was called Greatest Tits.
Greatest Tits.
It was a
I'm not as subtle at it as you are. You pull it off.
Because you know, because if you just say greatest hits,
it counts.
You can hear it.
But I say greatest tits.
Yeah.
I like Garth saying a sphincter says what?
Yeah, just say greatest hits.
Greatest hits.
just kind of drop the H just, a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got it dialed in. You're pretty good at that.
Yeah. no one picked up on it. I didn't get a single email.
No one called us to tell us about greatest tits?
No one mentioned that. We said greatest tits several times.
Well, I said Juliet last week.
I said son.
And in this week's episode, I think Claire was making a good case for it.
It reminded me of the Superbad trailer.
Take care of those.
So anyway, Charlie-centric episode.
Charlie-centric.
Our first Charlie and last Charlie episode of the season.
Yeah.
Unless
and a filler episode, frankly.
It was, you can say that. It was definitely a bridging episode to the season finale.
Setup. It was a lot of setup.
But
it wasn't bad.
It was interesting because it was really character oriented. Like this is like the episode, other than maybe Flashes Before Your Eyes, that really focused on one character and what they were going through.
Yeah.
On the island.
On the island. Yeah, exactly.
And I thought it was great.
I didn't think it was a bad episode, and I definitely liked it. But I recognize it as a filler episode.
I didn't think it was just
a bridge.
I think it was just there. Yeah, I don't think it was just there for them to buy themselves more time to
no,
get
no, you're right.
The finale.
You're right. Bridge is more of a, because a lot of it was like part. A lot of the things that happened this week were part A to a part B that will presumably happen on Wednesday.
Yeah,
but I mean, all around all that was the story about Charlie, which was actually kind of sweet.
Yeah, it was totally sweet.
Yeah, totally sweet.
There's something about it I just really enjoyed. I kind of like it when the characters aren't just surrounded by constant, like, threat. It's nice to kind of have moments where they're just hanging out, even though they were still, you know,
totally threatened.
Threatened by the others, but the whole thing was more about what's going on in just Charlie's mind, what his problems are and what he's going through. And I thought it was done really well.
It was almost like, because we don't really get to see one person's point of view. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of movies can be definitely one character centric, a lot of TV shows. But this show, it's because it's an ensemble piece. There's a lot of jumping around perspective and camera wise.
Yeah.
But this kind of nailed it a little bit more for Charlie. Definitely seeing how he's reacting to the current crisis.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. Can Charlie swim?
Charlie says he doesn't swim.
Yeah, doesn't wasn't there
he says in one of the first episodes when Boone was drowning.
I don't swim.
Drowning. When he was drowning, he says I don't swim.
Yeah.
And
wasn't there a special
he didn't say I can't swim?
Okay. So they left themselves
he says I don't swim. I don't think Charlie's going to die.
I don't think he is either.
We have did I mention this last week? I mentioned it on the blog. That after the implosion of the hatch,
yeah,
Desmond definitely can see the future.
Yes.
Locke can kind of heal himself. He also had some visions afterwards, the whole further instructions episode where he lost his voice. He was affected by the hatch.
Yeah.
Echo kind of.
Who knows what might have happened if the smoke monster didn't show up.
But what's going on with Charlie? Something had to have happened to Charlie.
Well,
and we don't know yet.
And
I'm not saying he gained the ability to swim. I'm not saying they turned into the Justice League or something.
Right.
But
it could have had an effect on Charlie.
Something's happened to Charlie.
It definitely seemed like after the hatch imploded, it took Charlie a while to set back to normal.
Yeah.
Like
another thing is we haven't really fully been told what was going on in Fire Plus Water.
No, we still don't know what that's about.
He
said something to Son, like, oh, I was going through a really crazy time or whatever.
Yeah, in his visions, he was able to swim out to Aaron, who was floating in his crib.
In his dream, yeah.
And I honestly don't believe that it's a mistake.
It would be too big of one.
If they were to say, okay, now Charlie, you're going to swim under the looking glass and up into the moon pool, I guarantee you that Dominic Monaghan would say
my
character can't swim.
Yeah.
And would also, if they said, well, act like you can't swim, just sink like a rock.
Yeah. He would have done that.
Struggle. Yeah, he would have done that. Yeah, he would have done that.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, granted, there was that scene where his dad shows him how to swim, essentially. Yeah. And that's how he writes it on The Greatest Hits. Yeah. There was, I don't know if you remember this, but there was definitely some special feature where Dominic Monaghan in like an interview was talking about how he had to be in the water and pretend he didn't know how to swim because Charlie can't swim, but Dominic can.
Yeah.
And I know he definitely said that, but A, he was a real bad junkie at the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe he couldn't swim while he was all junked up on heroin. And two, this is the kind of show where you don't give the characters everything the actors everything they know about the characters all at once.
Yeah.
So he might have thought that he couldn't swim based on that dialogue, but it could be the kind of thing that the producers was just holding out on him for some reason or another. I mean, you know, like the whole story of like Star Wars where they shot parts of it where no one knew what was happening. Like not everyone got the script for scenes. And like we've discussed before, Michael Emerson not knowing if he was an other or not.
Yeah.
So I think it's understandable, but I just it kind of grated on me when I was watching the episode because I was like, I remember him saying he didn't know how to swim.
Yeah.
But he said it off. He said it not in the show, so it doesn't count.
But I don't know. I there's definitely, but still, even though he said it not on the show, he still would have remembered that.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why
they would have had to convince him.
Yeah.
But he certainly could swim.
Yeah.
He did fine.
Is it really hard to swim? If you're like, I learned how to swim when I was like 5.
I think you can pick it up. But he said he was the junior swim champion.
If you were to throw someone in the water who could never swim,
they could do it.
I think they could do it.
But he did say something about being the junior swim champion or something, which could be lying.
Oh, that was him lying.
Okay.
Because if you look at him, he wasn't like...
He was trying to get picked for the mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't like gloating about it. He was just trying to say whatever he could to get to where he needed to save Claire.
To save Claire.
And maybe if you're determined enough...
You can swim.
If the only thing... He knows he's going to his death.
Yeah.
And the only motivation for him is saving Claire. He's going to do whatever he can to do it. And that's including trying to make it to that moon pool.
Yeah. Yeah, that moon pool, that whole station is cool.
Yeah.
It's odd that it's called the Looking Glass because it sounds like something that you look through. It sounds like a telescope, but it means mirror.
Uh-huh.
It's got that little white bunny rabbit on the logo.
I didn't even look at
anything. You should look at it because it's like a bunny rabbit with a tattoo.
With the 8 on it?
No, it's just got it's like an 8 ball, if anything. It's this bunny rabbit that's got this weird black circle on its like shoulder. Who knows what the purpose of that is, but
is it a watch?
No, because it's
Alice in the Looking Glass?
Yeah, I know what you but no, it maybe it's like a pocket watch up really
high.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe, but which brings me to rabbits. You know, there's the Looking Glass rabbit, there's the one they were eating.
There's the white rabbit.
There's the white rabbit from that episode. And then, of course, Ben and all his rabbits.
The white rabbit.
Yeah, you know, from that episode. The moth.
I have a question because I did not watch the episode again either. It seems that if you know the others are watching you and they seem to know what you're up to.
Yeah.
Exploding a tree in the middle of the island, is that...
As a test.
Is that a way to go?
It was that... Jack is becoming a very powerful public speaker because he can sit up there and tell them they have dynamite, but instead he decides to pull them all out into the middle of the jungle and show them. Here you go. Look what we got.
Explosions.
I don't think it's a very good idea.
This is dramatic effect.
I think Rousseau was trying for greatest hits in this episode. She had like two bags crisscrossed and a lift and separate.
I don't even want. Danielle makes me throw up.
She, you know what? Normally I would not even mention it, but they were definitely on point.
What else we got?
The moon pool. I want to talk about the.
Go for it.
I want to talk about the abyss. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I love that movie.
The movie's awesome.
I don't own it, but hey.
You know, of course the station reminded me of the abyss because it had a moon pool.
Dude, if Michael Biehn's in there,
then Charlie should run because Michael Biehn probably has underwater madness.
Yes, if you're going by abyss, I was just hoping Michael Biehn was down there.
That would be cool.
Portray as himself.
It's blood. That's him, right? Or is that the other dude?
I don't know.
There's like a fake trailer in Grindhouse where I think it's Michael Biehn, like, picks up blood from the ground and tastes it like they do with cocaine.
Yeah.
It says it's blood. Okay, the characters inside the hatch are Greta and Bonnie, according to some press release.
I'm going to accept that because Naomi was Naomi before
she was
named Naomi.
And Naomi's kind of cute when she cleans up.
I don't know.
And immediately heals her lung puncture.
Mikhail said it only take a day or a half.
That's true. He was right. And she knew about Charlie's Greatest Hits album.
Yeah.
Which is like You All Everybody on a loop for 10 tracks.
Who knows?
Maybe they unearthed some recordings they had done, you know, like you do with like a Tupac or a Jim Morrison or a John Lennon. That'd be kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, back to the station. I thought when he was, I know I keep getting away from my own topic.
Well, you mentioned Michael Biehn. What did you think was going to happen?
Good point.
Oh, wait, did I mention Michael Biehn? I did.
You did. But
okay.
But he is awesome.
He's in Navy SEALs.
I know. We tie everything together.
Yeah.
It's well crafted. You guys think we're improvising, but this is... I spent all week writing the script for this week's podcast.
So the Looking Glass.
The Looking Glass.
The moon pool.
The moon pool. I thought the whole station was flooded. I thought he was going to have to swim up through where the moon pool was, swim through the station, and swim up to the switch and flick it. By the time he got to the moon pool, I was like, Charlie is a dead man. This is forever. There's no way he's getting back up and under and out.
Yeah.
So it was a relief to me when I saw that he came up.
And it was a relief to Charlie. That was a great scene when he was so excited. And this episode flew by so fast that by the time Greta and Bonnie, is that the name?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Came out, I was like, hell yeah, this is just about to get awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens next.
And then, boom. It was over.
I thought it was going to have another foosome. He was like,
yeah.
What is this, Helsinki? Because I'm ready.
I'm sorry, the Looking Glass.
That was it. I was saying that I thought the whole thing was flooded.
But as it turns out, I mean, Desmond just said, someone mentioned it was flooded. Juliet
said it was flooded.
That could have just been Ben lying to her.
True. It turns out it was.
And Desmond, did Desmond mention anything about drowning? I don't think he did.
Yeah, he says he flips the switch and then drowns.
Huh.
But it's kind of the thing where it's like, just because a person goes, does not mean they are dead.
Yeah.
You know, for all you know, Desmond sees Charlie drowning, quote unquote, and then someone takes him out of the water and gives him mouth to mouth. You know, that kind of thing. Like, I don't think Desmond gets the whole picture. Obviously, he just gets flashes.
Yeah. I'm excited that Charlie's going to have another adventure.
Yeah, me too. Because he's alive and it's exciting. It's a cool one. I mean, discovering a new hatch with new people in it, and for all we know, they're like a third faction or they're surviving Dharma, you know, because the others think the hatch is flooded. And whoever these people are, they're definitely a new factor on the scene. And I'm
well,
interested.
Ben obviously lied to Juliet about it not being...
Or he told her the truth and he just got the truth wrong.
Or he doesn't know
what's going on down there. Yeah.
But I mean...
Handsome Jack was right, by the way, all these years ago.
That was like one of his first crackpot theories.
That was like his first... And no, it's not a crackpot theory anymore. That was his first totally accurate, well-done Jack theory.
Yeah.
It's just here, this cable leads to an underwater hatch. Boom and boom. He even asked them at Comic-Con. Or no, did Jay ask them? That a friend of mine has a theory about...
No, Jack asked him about the underwater hatch.
He did.
And
when are we going to see the underwater hatch?
Damon and Carlton said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Ah.
And then Jack replied with, you know, the wire that goes into the water. And they didn't answer it. Like, that was the whole thing, was they totally dodged the question. Now, whether the Looking Glass was in mind back in summer of 2006... Or, hey, what about that wire that goes into the thing?
Oh, good one. Let's write that. I don't know. I mean, however, it's got to be tough to be them and be in public. I mean, it's one thing to have secrets.
Yeah.
I mean, because the show, you have to have secrets in order to make it interesting. That's like what the show is.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to be out in public and tell people, hey, ask us questions. I mean, what are you going to do? They had to spend their whole Comic-Con essentially just like,
dodging.
We don't know. Or we're not going to tell you.
Like if I went in there and said... Is Echo going to die because of the smoke monster?
That would have been pretty hot. So, on your show, is Michael coming back?
Yes.
We have to talk about Michael at some point because we saw him in that movie.
Yeah.
We saw 28 Weeks Later this week.
We'll talk about it at the end of the show.
We'll talk about it at the end of the show. Tease.
What else do we have in this episode?
Oh, that's all kinds of stuff.
Go through your notes. You have notes.
Rose and Bernard are back.
Yes, Rose and Bernard are back.
Alive.
They never left.
They were there the whole time.
Yeah.
Apparently. They were just behind the camera.
Yeah.
Rose is the sound guy.
Why not?
I know. We don't see everyone every week, but it's been a long time. I wonder if they got paid, the actors.
Yeah, probably. Why wouldn't they get paid?
How awesome is that, dude? Would you like to come and live in Hawaii and get paid and work?
Oh, you mean the whole time?
Yeah.
I'm under the impression that the actors are not in Hawaii the whole time. L. Scott.
They fly him out when they
Mr. Gorpley. Sam Anderson. I have a feeling that may be one of the reasons, because they're older people. They might have families. They probably maybe come out like once a year, bring the family for a
trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's cool. They
weren't in it a whole lot last season.
No.
I mean,
Rose was gone for a long ass time.
Yeah. So,
like, from the time that Jack talked to her in The White Rabbit.
Yeah.
Till months and months later, she was gone.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal, but we had joked and speculated that they were dead, and they're clearly not. So,
yeah.
Well, phooey on us.
I assumed they were alive because they would have showed us.
But yeah,
them dying,
of
which
course.
Will probably happen next week.
Of course, they were actually alive, but to joke about them killing each other was fun.
But next week, they're probably...
Next week, they're dead.
Yeah,
of course.
They're going to die.
Well, there's that whole scene with Rose and Jack where she says, I'm going to stay with Bernard.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do that. She says, I'm going to stay with Bernard, and Jack's like, no, you're not, because I'm the decider now. I couldn't catch how that was resolved. Did he convince her to go away, or was she sticking around?
I don't think that with Rose's history, I don't think that she's really going to just allow someone to tell her what to do.
Just
I think
down.
She's, yeah, I think she's going to be there. And she's
I thought
gonna
that,
get fucking
I thought
blown
that
up with Bernard.
I don't know if it's just like some problem with me or if I just thought that scene was ambiguous, but at the end of it, I was like, I don't know how that ended. And I was watching it.
I don't know.
I recognize Nadia.
Where's she from? Because now that you say, what are you? Oh, Nadia.
Nadia, yeah.
You know what? We're sitting there watching the episode, and Charlie saves Nadia, and I said, oh, cool, he saved Naomi. I totally forgot Nadia's name.
Like,
I was thinking Nadia.
You weren't thinking of
the I couldn't get her name. I was like,
wait, what
Naomi's
is
Naomi's been around for, what, 3-4 episodes? And I can't even...
And you can't... She's blocked out everyone
else. Her name's
else.
Too close to another random character.
Well, that's... I was like, hey, is that Nadia? And, we're watching it at my house, and... Everyone else said no.
Wow.
And I was
what
like
a bunch of jerks.
Well, I mean, isn't that the opposite sketches? I mean, if anyone's going to recognize a face, it's not me.
Yeah.
I watched all of Spider-Man 3 without knowing as Bryce Dallas Howard. But much to both of our riddlement. But
and well, at my house, I said, hey, that's
Naomi.
No. And I was like, that's Saeed's girlfriend.
That's better. If Steve's you can't think
like,
of a name.
Yeah, that is. That was her.
That was her. And it had to have been her because they're not going to get some other girl with a Middle Eastern accent and have it not be, Saeed. Saeed's girlfriend. Basically, Charlie's not going to save anyone's life that isn't someone.
Yeah.
There's going to be a connection.
Yeah. Do you think that was the same day that Desmond flashed back to? And if so, does that mean that Desmond's flashback was all in his mind? Well, I guess it would, because he didn't show up this time around.
It's hard to say, because clearly it was the same song.
Mm-hmm. And it rained
did rain
at the same point.
So it can't have been... I mean, it was all in his mind, yeah, maybe. But at least it was real.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's still, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think he went back and changed the past.
No, I do not
think it was just,
he was just,
it was in his mind.
The past.
Like I could have a dream about something that I did when I was a kid and
yeah, it doesn't mean
do something
that you,
different.
Doesn't
I mean,
mean
that time
you
I have,
kid.
You know, yeah. like,
but
something awesome.
Did he go back in time and convince Charlie to jump in the pool? Didn't someone say that in the background at the pool, you can hear someone say, Desmond, come on.
I don't know. I didn't see that.
I heard that on like Lostpedia or something. So Charlie didn't know how to swim. Desmond goes back in time and forces him to confront his dad and learn how to swim so he can survive his encounter with the Looking Glass. That would be balls.
There you go. That would be awesome.
That would be totally cool. Yeah, so there you go. And
what if we get an alternate Charlie flashback next season?
Yeah.
We see what really happened.
What
we see a Desmond flashback.
What happened the first time. Yeah. And then what happened when maybe Desmond went back and influenced a lot of people's lives and changed them just a little bit so that they're more useful on the island.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
It would be cool. That might be pretty. That's pretty interesting.
That would be far. The consequences would be far reaching. I mean, he could just make little nudges here and there.
Yeah.
Be like Quantum Leap. Yeah, that would be cool. There was something else I wanted to say about good old Desmond. Oh yeah, and he goes back in time just to teach Charlie how to swim so he doesn't drown. And what does he get for his trouble? Whoops! Or in your face.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
My coworker saw that scene. Like, she saw a clip of it. And she was like, "So, okay, I saw that clip where he killed that guy with the oar."
I was like, "Is this you before you watched the episode?" What?
No, oh, it was after. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, it sure did look that way, but I'm pretty sure he's alive."
Yeah, that was a cool scene.
It was because I with Charlie and Desmond, I think with Dominic Monaghan and
Henry Ian Cusick.
Thank you. Jeez, I think they're both really good actors.
Uh-huh.
I thought that scene played well, and you could tell that they both were like struggling with what they wanted to do, but what they were willing to do.
Yeah.
And then when it looked like Charlie was going to give up, and I was like,
I really liked the way Dominic acted as soon as he found out what the consequences of his actions were. Like, you could see that he didn't want to die, but it didn't matter because he ultimately just wants Claire and Aaron on a
helicopter. That chopper. Yeah. With Chopper Dave.
Yeah.
Oh!
And I really liked the episode.
From that point forward, he was resigned. You know, yeah. I mean, so much that he had to slap Hurley in the face.
That scene.
That was harsh.
Yikes.
But fair.
Yeah.
He was too big for the boat.
I mean, yeah, but.
But it was harsh.
It was like Harry and the Hendersons when they yell at him to go away.
Go away. Don't you see you're not wanted anymore?
You're a jerk, you stupid.
Yeah.
Sasquatch.
Yeah.
I'm your baby, Sas. So it was totally.
Yeah, it was harsh, very, no, very harsh on Charlie's part.
It was Sasquatch.
and then at the end, he gave him a hug and said, "I love you." Yeah, whatever, man. I love you too.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where I think that was more emotional than him saying bye to Claire and Aaron.
Yeah,
like, there's something about it
because he had to do something because he had to have tough love.
Yeah,
and you're right. From that point forward, when Desmond convinces him, he's like,
we didn't even have to convince him.
He just tells
him. He tells him what he saw, and from that point on, he was like, "No, I have to do this." So much so where he wasn't even gonna let Desmond do it for him, which Desmond might have an easier time down there.
It's entirely possible, but maybe Charlie's better suited to what's gonna happen to him now with the guns. Maybe he's gonna interact better with these girls.
Yeah.
How long does Desmond, after he wakes up, how long does he wait there, do you think? How long do you wait floating next to the Looking Glass?
I have no clue.
I mean, that's rough.
I have no
At some point, you have to leave.
I have no clue.
Oh, no, I'm just saying like, hypothetical.
He would
it's
have
tough,
to,
right?
There has to be some way that Desmond would know.
Maybe flashes.
That Charlie did whatever he did. Like a sound.
Well,
you could see the lights from where they were sitting. You could see the lights from the station from the surface of the water.
So hopefully whatever Charlie's flipping is like the main power.
You'll see. Boom. I don't know. It's definitely going to happen next week. I mean,
I'm just thinking about Bordez out there. Wakes up groggy, face full of ore.
Chances are he's going to wake up at nighttime because it seems like
he's out.
It just seems like transitions happen a lot on Lost where.
Yeah.
It goes from day to night real quick.
Yeah, I think that's... It goes from day to night, and it goes from sunny to rainy really quick, and I think that's just island style.
I think the last season, we had the finale with, like, Jack and the gang, and then the beach people. No, the hatch people. There was, like, two storylines. I think this season's going to be... Well, I guess three, if you count the beach people, the transmitter tower people, and
And Charlie.
And the Looking Glass stuff.
Yeah. Intercut, like the last act of a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It's
gonna be fucking bitching.
It's going to be tight.
I don't understand the logic between why they had to do the Looking Glass thing at the same time as
the
transmitter thing.
That Jack feels, A, that Ben will, if they mess with the Looking Glass, Ben will either go to the transmitting tower and fix things there, or go to the Looking Glass and fix it, because he's interested in the signals being jammed.
Okay.
So I think he thinks they have a narrow window of opportunity.
Okay.
That, I said A, but I don't think I have a B. So.
Okay.
I liked that it was made clear that Saeed had taken some of the Dharma books from the flame.
I used my brains to deduce that.
Yeah.
here's the station she was talking about. Here's the schematics.
And you were like, what?
For a second, I was like, okay, he did get the books from there.
Can you imagine if he hadn't seen that episode? You're just like, wait, what? They have dossiers now on these hatches?
Huh.
It came with the island orientation.
And Saeed hasn't had the chance to thumb through him with the whole fucking A.
The whole Nadia thing?
The whole Naomi thing.
Yeah, so what else did I have? Rabbits. Oh, Dexter Stratton? Is it Dexter? Derek?
Who's that?
Drive Shaft? The family heirloom of the Drive Shaft ring?
Sure.
All right.
Maybe it stands for Desmond's
alter
ego.
No, they said. I just can't remember if it was Dexter or Derek.
I know, but if your whole Desmond traveling back in time to change shit up.
Desmond Stratton. It's actually Rick Stratton. They just... It's been changed through the years.
It's actually Dude Some Guy.
What a sweet last name.
Yeah. I thought that was strange. Whatever.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to next week. But
I'm just glad to see that Charlie didn't die and probably won't die until next season.
I know. I was fired up.
I mean,
couldn't find my drive shaft ring last week. I wanted to find it so bad before I watched the episode, and I don't know where it is. And I was like, I let Charlie down. If he dies, it's my fault.
Well, it's not here, and usually you wear it here.
I know.
Check your seats in your car. Probably fell.
Yeah. I'll check out my butt.
Yeah.
Maybe I was hiding it in my butt.
Your finger was in your butt.
Question mark? Not much else, I think, to discuss for this episode.
One of those cut and dry episodes.
Yeah, we say that a lot.
But
it's important that we have a show.
Because we're really smart and totally understand every episode,
exactly.
We don't have to discuss
it. If anyone else out there is like wondering, it's probably because they didn't figure it out. We're going to make Lost into the Emperor's New Clothes.
No, it's just, I mean, like Flashes Before Your Eyes, when it is so character-driven and it's so specifically set on one person, I mean.
Yeah. Charlie was writing
not
down
a whole
his
lot
top five memories.
Yeah, there's not a lot, a big web to we.
Yeah. Do you think you could do that? I don't think I could come up with my top five memories.
This show is one of them.
Right now?
This is the best show ever. No, I don't know. I wouldn't even sit there and do that.
I'd probably just be like, goodbye.
But I guess with Charlie saying that he has a pathetic life, that, I mean, he's trying to find... I guess he's trying to weigh his pros and cons.
Yeah, I think he's trying to show that he did have some worth in his life.
Yeah.
Or something that was, you know, good or appropriate.
Or he's just trying to show Claire. I don't know what he was. Why give it to Claire? Like, see, I am a good guy.
Sucks that she didn't notice the ring. Just walked away with it.
Well, Charlie kind of put it.
I know. I can't blame her.
Claire left in a hurry.
Yeah. I can't blame her at all. I feel bad. I hope the others don't blow it up or something. Because that's an heirloom, apparently.
Yeah.
That's an antique.
It's an odd-looking antique.
I'll say.
Maybe he was some kind of welder in the family.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
I thought when they cut to Charlie in Helsinki, the night. Well, I keep saying Helsinki.
I don't know.
It was Iceland, right?
I don't know.
Fuck it. When they cut to that, and he was in bed with those two girls, I was thinking about Office Space.
Yeah,
find two girls to double up on a guy like me. I thought he was going to write that as one of his greatest hits. The time I banged those two girls. And then send it to Claire. Here you go. These are my top five memories. At least you edge out the threesome. But that was it. That's it. And it was ramping us up for next week. So do you want to talk about next week?
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's go for it.
Next week on Lost.
grab my cheek.
I saw that.
Into my mic.
You're a professional.
Because I don't have the computer on the bed this week.
So you had to turn your head,
so
and that threw
I,
you
I
off.
I was sitting in a different position, and when I turned my head, I just rammed my cheek right into the mic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was writing notes while Ralph was saying that, and I feel like, is it Handsome Dan? You never seen Wayne's World 2. Never mind. Loser.
I've seen parts.
I might have seen all of it.
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking of the Harry Shearer part, because he's not looking at that wall, but he keeps turning to like respond into the microphone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So through the looking glass?
Through the looking glass. 3X22, the finale.
It's a Jack episode.
It's a two-hour episode.
I know.
And it starts at 9.
Yes.
If you're in America, I guess, on the West Coast or whatever. Be careful. Check your local listings if you don't have
a
DVR.
We've never mentioned what it is.
I know.
So I think people are okay.
It's not our responsibility. Yeah. We have people that listen, that watch Lost. That's why they would listen to us. So.
Yeah. It's a Jack episode.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Another Jack?
Yeah. Our third one?
All right. That's fine. I like
Wait,
Jack.
You don't like Jack?
I do like Jack.
I think Jack's dead.
You think he's not going to make it?
That's my prediction. He's dead. I said that a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. But I saw bits and pieces in the commercial for the upcoming episode.
Uh-huh.
And
there's some explosions or something.
People running.
People sweating.
I think there's more Charlie. I think there was like a shot of Charlie in the
stage.
He was
getting beat up, right?
I don't remember that. But
I think I saw him. He was tied to a chair.
Nice.
Getting hit in the balls from underneath.
God.
But no, it's a Jack episode. We're going to find out.
We're going to find out all we're going to find out this year.
Yeah.
it's going to be the limit.
I just have this strange feeling that Jack is going to be dying.
Well, that would suck.
And that Claire is going to sing to him.
Aww.
He's gonna sing "Catch a Falling Star."
Is he gonna put it in his pocket?
And they're gonna realize that they're brother and sister, and she's gonna die, and Juliet's gonna take over as the new doctor on the island.
Ooh, interesting prediction.
Yep.
I
know people are gonna be pissed at me for saying I think Jack's gonna die because I told Kelly and Jeff, and they were very against me saying that. Jeff said I won't watch Lost anymore. I said, you're going to watch Lost.
You're going to watch it.
But you know what? You can be pissed all you want, but don't be pissed at me for thinking this might happen. This
exactly.
may be a possibility.
You're not influencing the world at all. This isn't Comic-Con.
Yeah. I'm not Jack. I'm not HJ over here.
I hope that Jack doesn't die, but I say that every time we talk about how a character might die.
So. I don't want anybody to die.
Yeah.
But you know what?
It's gonna happen.
I could have feelings that people are gonna die.
Yeah.
And I really have a strong gut feeling
about Jack.
It has nothing to do with spoilers, has nothing to do with anything.
Speaking
it
off.
Just has to do with
Jack.
My gut feeling that Jack is gonna die.
Well, I'll be watching next
week. I would like to be proven wrong. I'm not happy about if that were to happen, but I'm just saying.
I know what you mean. And I'll be watching next week. And I'll take careful notes so I can notice if he dies or not.
All right, do that.
Because I wouldn't want to skim over that.
Yeah.
Jack, does Jack have a theme?
They kind of just use basic Lost themes.
So Locke has a theme and Kate has a theme.
Yeah.
If you want to pick the top three characters of the show,
there's. I think Sawyer has one too.
Oh my God!
Does
his theme ever meld with Kate's in like a Han and the Princess kind of way?
No, I don't. It's
not Peter and the Wolf. I want everything to be Peter and the Wolf.
Nothing,
and it's not.
The first three episodes of Star Wars aren't even
Peter and the Wolf. Peter yeah,
which upset me because that was the whole fun of the original Star Wars. You can listen to the music and know who's on
who's on screen at that moment.
That's called a leitmotif.
Ooh, learning about music, and it's not even.
Yeah.
It's
do you want to learn more? Do you want to learn more about music, or do you have more about next week?
No. I was trying to segue.
Oh, you did a good job.
Thanks, dude.
All right, let's get to Jimmy.
Hello, everyone. It's Jimmy in Seattle here. It's been a funny couple of days. I'm going to tell you why. We did the midweek show, like I promised, and put it up Tuesday, I think it was. and somehow it didn't appear on iTunes, and we tried and tried. Cut a long story short, Ralph solved it. We got the show up. About now, we got the show up. So my point is, it's either sitting in your iPod now, unheard, or you've only just recently heard it. This has sort of buggered up the continuity somewhat. But it turns out it was a timely episode, because it's all very Locke-centric. And as it happens, we don't know what's happened with Locke. And I tell you musically why he survives. That's actually been going on our last two episodes. If you're listening on the Lost Podcasting Network, I think you're going to have to subscribe directly to the Darmalas to hear it. In the background, you can hear Russell Garcia's score from, or should I say, The Time Machine from 1960. The George Powell film, one of my favourites. It's very appropriate. So, if you haven't gotten around to listening to the midweek show yet, shut your eyes, listen to it, imagine it's Tuesday, and that you hadn't actually seen the episode Greatest Hits. We're going to get another midweek show out, obviously, and then, with any luck, I'll get a couple of retrospective looks at the entire season after that. Till then, this is Jimmy in Seattle. Sorry about the mess up there. Be good. Namaste.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Bit of a short one because he was having problems with the feed earlier.
No, there was some weird stuff going on. Jimmy posted his midweek episode on Wednesday,
which is the middle of the week.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm just glad we get Jimmy, because once again, it's my favorite segment of the show. There's these things that we do called enclosure tags.
Uh-huh.
It's a line of code, and you input a URL, which is linked to the audio file.
Where it's hosted.
Yeah, and then you also put in this enclosure tag
your description?
The name of the show. Okay. So I can put doo-doo caca in the enclosure tag, and our episode will be called doo-doo caca.
I think we should do an episode called Doo Doo Caca.
That'll be our first episode
for
the summer.
Our first Lars episode.
And so it was... The episode wasn't showing up on iTunes. And I went in and I looked at it and it looked great. Jimmy looked at it and it looked great. And I was like, I couldn't figure it out. And apparently somewhere in the enclosure tag, there was a space.
I saw it. You guys had an email about that.
And because of the space, it didn't go on iTunes.
It didn't read.
Man, technology these days is so precise.
Garbage in, garbage out, dude.
But Jimmy's piece is there. Guys, subscribe to the Darvalars. Listen to Jimmy's piece.
Listen to Jimmy's piece.
Shut up on iTunes Thump. Today. Two in one day.
So, but I guess I thought that this week, because I didn't listen to the file yet, but it seemed like he was saying it was short because of, was it not because of that? Was it because of other things? Or did I read the email wrong?
From what I gathered, because he had just gotten his other one out, that I don't know.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, Jimmy's going to be with us throughout the summer, so those of you that are sticking around, look forward to him talking about, you know, whatever he cares to talk about, just like we're going to be.
Yeah,
so.
we'll discuss our summer shows on next week's episode. We'll fill you guys in on what our plans are for that.
Yeah, for those of you that want to stick around. I want to talk about John motherfucking Grease.
Go for it.
This dude came back again this week. He was in the Onion AV Club. They interviewed him. It was called Random Roles, because they have a bit called Random Rules, uh-huh, where they have a celebrity play the shuffle on their iPod, mm-hmm, and then explain each song, which we did on the Blogspot one time.
Yeah,
they explained like the first 8 songs or something. Uh-huh. But Random Roles, I don't know if it was just for John Grease or if it's like a new segment. They asked him to name some of his most memorable roles that he's played. Motherfucker totally mentions King Vidiot. and cool. Laszlo from Real Genius.
Did you mention Nick the Dick from Men in Black?
No, but we haven't talked about that yet. But now that we have, I'm sure Men in Black is going to be playing on the bus next to
right
me when
now,
I drive
as
home.
We talk.
Yeah. it's just this John Grease thing has been rolling out of control ever since I rented joysticks. I've never heard of the movie, or maybe I have, but you know, who knows about joysticks? And here it is in The Onion, an article where the dude talks about his role in joysticks and how much fun it was. So there you go.
Strange.
It just keeps the hits. Just
what did you mention earlier that we wanted to talk about at the end of the show?
I don't remember. Oh, our movie. We went and saw 28 Weeks Later.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it more than the first one.
Okay.
I was not a fan of the first one, and I was not excited to go to the movies.
Yeah,
you
also didn't go.
I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go.
But there's enough of us going.
The fact that Engineer Jeff said he wanted to go.
Engineer Jeff is pussy afraid of zombies.
He is not a fan of horror movies.
I'm not calling him a pussy. I'm saying he's pussy afraid. It's just an adjective.
Yeah, and it was... he mentioned out of the blue, he mentioned that he was thinking about going to see it. And so I said, okay, if you go, then I'll go.
And
we
went.
And
he stayed
awake. I enjoyed it. I think he can fall asleep during those movies.
Even him? No, he can't.
It's pretty loud and scary.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I was talking to Amy about it. I thought that I was maybe 80% on this movie, which is weird because it's like right up my alley. I love post-apocalyptic movies, and that's exactly what this was.
Yeah.
But I thought it was visually confusing a lot of the time. It was hard for me to follow what was happening.
Really?
Granted, that's a style, and it makes sense because it's like a disaster flick, and it's, you know, it's if you were to have the camera bolted down and on a wide angle shot, it wouldn't convey the emotion and it wouldn't be realistic.
I told Stevie that the night scope scene was probably the scariest scene I've ever seen while in a movie theater.
It was pretty scary.
It scared the fucking shit out of me.
Yeah,
it was creepy.
It was well done.
And scary. And long, and it wouldn't let up. It did not let up.
And the payoff was
fucking brilliant.
It was hardcore because it's one of those things where they now, because of something that's totally natural and that we've accepted throughout the whole movie, they've limited us to what we can see, and they're able to ramp up the scariness because you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Because they've got you locked in this little box, so that was cool. Harold Perrineau was in it.
And he was a badass in his fucking chopper.
Yeah, he was flying around in his helicopter.
Oh!
Ho! Chopper Michael Dawson.
Wow, that was the best scene of the movie. My favorite scene in the movie.
The night scope?
When he was taking out the...
When
he was taking out the sickos or whatever they're
called. Yeah, he was getting rid of some rage-infected people in the same manner that they did in Planet Terror by using his helicopter blades.
I enjoyed this version more.
It was way more realistic, that's for sure.
Well, it was shot during the daytime, so
yeah.
You could see every single...
It was,
person getting
that was really cool. Talk about collateral damage. And James was saying, Jimmy Pitan was talking about watching that scene. Can you imagine if you were like one of those directors watching the other movie? And you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah. But I mean, hey. You
it
know,
happens.
It's how making a helicopter a weapon. It happened in Broken
Twilight
Arrow.
Zone, the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Fucking A.
I shouldn't
it's
have said
been
that.
Long enough. I mean... If Clerks animated series can make a Challenger joke, you can make a Twilight Zone the movie joke.
That's right. That should be my motto. So let's give out some contact info.
So you can drop us some hate.
Yeah. If you're related to any of the people in that Twilight Zone the movie thing, you know, I'm sorry, I guess. Give us a call. Everyone else, give us a call. Talk about Lost. Talk about our show. We're still looking for summer suggestions, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's 206-338-4261. That's the Dharma line. You can leave us a message and we'll play it on the show.
Leave all your angry emails to Ben.
Ben.
With the subject line, Ben, read this, you piece of shit, at dharmalarge@gmail.com. You inconsiderate bastard.
Check out our blog at www.creedsthoughts.gov.www. Did you see the office last
yes,
night?
Yes, I did. Oh, talk about an epic fucking ending to a show. This is probably the greatest season finale ending I've ever seen on a television show.
What, Jim coming into her interview?
What? I'm talking about Ryan.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
That was we're done. And then he looks at the camera.
Looks at the camera like, yeah, I said that.
Yes.
Yeah, the tip's awesome.
So
Michael asks him to get him some coffee.
I don't do that anymore.
makes some joke about him. What he means is that he doesn't drink coffee anymore. Anyhow,
MySpace.com/Darmalars.
Yeah, that's right.
DarmalarsPodcast.blogspot.com.
ScottandSteve.blogspot.com. Let's not even tell them what they do. Let's just throw shit out there.
Yes.
Frapper.com/Darmalars. We haven't had that one in a while.
We mentioned Handsome Jack a couple times. I just want to give a thanks to HJ.
HJ. HJ, the prophet.
Now, I listen to Jay and Jack. I've been listening to Jay and Jack for a couple of years, or like a year and a half. Almost, it might be 2 years. I don't know. However long their show's been on, I've been listening. But for the last, I would say easily, the last month, not a Thursday show or a Monday show has gone by without Jack mentioning our show.
Wow.
And I just wanted to give a special thanks to Jack. And I'm assuming that everyone listens to this show probably listens to their show. But if you don't, listen to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack.
It's good stuff. And if you have a photo iPod or a photo-enabled iPod, they show a lot of pictures from the episode.
Yeah.
That part's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I don't have the patience to do that.
You know what? Because I listen to podcasts when I'm driving. So that's probably not a good thing for me. But I haven't listened to their show in about, I would say, about a month because I've just been really busy with other stuff lately. And also, I loaned my iPod to Becky so she could show Lost to her sisters. Her sister was in town from Sweden, and consequently, she was a couple episodes behind, so I gave them my iPod so she could catch up. So I was doing my duty.
To please that booty.
Do we have
So, yeah, I was just saying thanks to Jack for all his kind words. And thanks to Jay, just because.
Just because, for being awesome.
I don't think I had to ask him for any technical advice this week.
That's 1 week. Yeah. You should get like one of those like workplace safety things.
But I want to say to all podcasters out there who have been sticking with Lost this whole time, this whole 16 weeks straight or whatever it is, good job. Because Jesus Christ, I know that a lot of us are tired.
I'm kind of it's a mixed blessing.
It's tiring.
I'm looking forward to my Fridays. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Next week's are going to be our finale.
That's
episode
right.
For the Darmalars. I mentioned on the blog that the Darmalars are done.
That we're done.
We're done.
We're packing it in.
But
you won't see us again until July.
You will see us for our Comic-Con show, which will be Lost related.
Which is
you
July.
Will see us for our preview for the season 3 DVD release,
which
we'll get a week
September,
just like season 2 DVD. We'll get it soon. We'll get it before everyone else does and do a show
and
with a preview.
Then you'll see us.
But other than that, no more Darmalars. It'll be the Lars, and it'll be non-Lost related.
That's right. So for those of you out there.
So yeah, we'll fill you up on that next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
As opposed to
right now, like you just did. We're going to watch Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest this weekend in preparation for next weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Which I'm totally psyched on. I know you're like, you don't care until you're watching the movie, and even then you're not like blown away.
Yeah.
But I'm just a huge Pirates fan, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm just a huge Pirates fan, just let me tell you. But other than that, I don't think we have anything going on this weekend. It's a relaxing weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to a comic book store tomorrow.
Lucky.
That's it.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. Drop us a line in any of the various ways that we mentioned. Thanks to everyone for listening. And I'm going to ask Ralph to go out on a cabin boy line.
Okay.
Doable? All right. All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you next week. Lost a La Vista.
They should call this place Wackyville. Ooh, because it's wacky.
Watch that as a double feature with Dead Man's Chest.
All right.
All right, y'all, everybody.
Hi, Dharma Bros. It's Neil. In New York, I wanted to pass on something I heard on one of the other podcasts that really I thought was very interesting, and it is this. John was shot, right, on his left side, right, and that is exactly where his kidney would be. And there's a possibility, right, that they took it from him so that he wouldn't die. And if that's the case, that really changes the game when it comes to Cooper. And maybe Cooper is some sort of geezer that goes around, you know, adjusting fate, because Locke would die. And if there is an opposing element to these hostiles, then, you know, maybe they... I'm not buying into the whole time thing, personally. It's too fantastic, and if that's the case, it's a better word, bollocks. But anyway, then they went back in time and took his kidney so that he wouldn't die when Ben shot him. Just a possibility. I don't know. You know, you can make of it what you will. But I just thought that was really interesting. Incidentally, I heard it on the GSPN full review, which, you know, Cliff Ravenscroft, I think, does a really great job. Not as good as you, of course. So anyway, guys, cheers. Keep up the good work. Stay lost.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is the Career Underachiever, and I have a few thoughts, and I think, well, obviously you don't share them because you haven't put them on your show. So here it goes. So the thing with Dr. Eyeliner, now my theory is he essentially could either be from the island or is special in the sense that he is immortal, or he might not be immortal, you know what I mean, but he can live for a very, very long time. Now, in order to establish that for us, he had to wear eyeliner in every episode because they had to establish that he's kind of weird and wears makeup anyway. So, he then in turn might, you know what I mean, might actually be able to age. So that's the counterpoint to the other point I made earlier. You might need to edit that out because this is stream of consciousness and I didn't write it down. Okay, so here it goes again. Oh, well, that's that. It's not going to go again. Man, let me think about this and call back. Bye. Oh, wait, no. Okay, so about Jacob. So Jacob is not real, okay? This guy, Dr. Eyeliner, who is immortal, in my opinion, he took in Ben, right? And because Ben saw something on the island, much like everyone on the plane seems to be seeing things on the island, right? He just took him in. Now, Ben is savvy and manipulative and, in my opinion, maybe sociopathic, little OCD. I'm not really sure, but he is a little crazy. So he might have maneuvered himself to the leader position, therefore dethroning Dr. Eyeliner. Dr. Eyeliner now discovers another man who can legitimately get healthier on this island in Locke. So he is trying to position Locke to kill Ben. But now the crux of it all is Dr. Eyeliner might actually have told Ben to shoot Locke as the ultimate test to see if he can survive and therefore either become the leader or the co-leader of the others. Alright, edit that down. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Once again, this is Stream Consciousness, and have a good one.
Hey, what's up, Ralph? Ben, this is Drake calling out of LA. Yeah, so I'm cramming the shows now. Because all of a sudden, my iTunes told me I had 490 fucking podcasts that I have no idea where they're at. But they're telling me that it's in my damn iPod. So now I've got to, you know, listen to every damn thing on there to erase every damn thing. Resubscribe to every damn thing. So anyway, so now I'm listening to the one about the brig. And yes, I have to say that, yeah, Craw was a big piece of poo, as you say. I mean, Jesus. Enough said. I am a fan of Sylvia. What's her name? Sarah Silverman. Yeah, I'm a fan of the long neck and everything. You know, she's cool. I could have swore that, and I think I probably said this already, but I could have swore that, Sawyer gave, the real Sawyer the Superman shank action. But, I don't know. Now I'm trying to think, I just dreamed that Sawyer shanked the guy like that and then chunked his ass out, you know, all no holds barred style. Who knows? Alright. That's all I got. Is it Halo 3 Beta? Halo 3 Beta come out tomorrow. Wait. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Drake. I'm out of LA. Okay, look. Okay, so I'm finishing the end of you guys, the Break podcast, whatever y'all start talking about. Hero. Two things. One, with the video. what year of the making video? I don't know, man. I don't know. I never really picked up you guys blinking on there, so, I don't know. I have to go back and watch again to make sure y'all blink, but who knows, right? But the main thing, though, is a couple of years ago, there was a live-action show called Mutant X. And Mutant X, it was similar to Heroes, except that everything was a little off. It was a Japanese kid that went to the future. All I got to tell you. Hold on.
Alright. Joseph, you gotta wait under the hotel phone.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm back for work.
so that should be funny. But yeah, it was a couple of things on there. Instead of it was a Korean kid. It was a Japanese dude. That could go back and forth on the future and stuff like that. And the girl, she was a blonde, but she was like half cat or wild tiger or something like that. But she, that explains her superpower thing or whatever. It was a lot of similarities or whatever. It got canceled because it was called Mutant X and it was a spin of X-Men, and at the time it didn't want, you know, they had a whole thing with the X-Men brand name properties and stuff like that, so it's whatever. But, I'm pretty sure it should be on Wikipedia or something where you guys can just go and get the gist of the show. But it was just like Heroes, but it was different. It was lame. It was like the, the cheesy graphics or whatever. All right. So, that's all I got. Thank you. Hey, guys. What's up? It's Dre calling out of L.A. Real topic, real short topic here. I just got through talking with my homeboy. You seen the episode of Lost or whatever tonight? I ain't seen it because I'm at work. So, the damn thing is, we got on this discussion about who, you know, do you think that, after seeing the pictures or whatever and all this other stuff, you're saying, who do you think is really gonna leave the others and all this other stuff. Like, we was deep in conversation. So my idiot homeboy goes, he thinks that it's Locke. I personally don't think that it's Locke. When Ben stood up there and talked about the Jacob supposed to be vengeful and all this other stuff, and you know, he's unforgiving, but at the same time he's passionate about whatever. All this other stuff, if you think about it, like, Locke, I mean, okay, like, take with Locke, they wanted him to kill his pop. Sure enough, he's believing, like, the island way. But the thing is, he didn't kill his pop. He got somebody else to do it. You see? But But see, now, I think personally that it's Jack. And the reason being is because remember when Boone, how he was going to, no matter what, even though he thought he was saving Boone, everybody else seen that he's going to give him out to chop his leg off him. You know, a door or something? I don't know what the hell. He was losing his mind. But he had the good, he was doing what he thought was right. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, the thing is, like, he's talking about how Locke is always around everybody and Locke got these powers and all this other stuff. I said, but, you know, true enough, Jack don't believe in all that. Jack don't think that anyone could tell somebody what to do. You see what I'm saying? So he's like not knowing what's going on. If Jack had to, he'll do so. Like, he'll sacrifice somebody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he wouldn't sacrifice somebody, my bad. Locke would sacrifice somebody. He thought the island wanted Boone, so he sent his ass up in the plane. You know what I'm saying? Jack wouldn't have did that. Jack would have did it himself. You see what I'm saying? But at the same damn time, if you cross Jack and you know, if he needs some information, he'll go to whatever he extremely has to go to get it. So if it was somebody to lead to others, plus when he was on in whatever the hell, Thailand or whatever the hell he was in, and they were talking about he walks among us, but he's not one of us and all this other crap, Jack don't want to be one of the others. You know, even though they were talking about their old thing, I'm putting it on the island. Jack don't want to be a part of their whole thing. He want to go home. But see, at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if you notice, look at his language where he's now referring to the Lofties as his people and all this other stuff. So I could go on rambling or whatever, but I'm not. Oh, and yes, the Halo beta is now out. Somebody just called me and told me that it's out. So, you guys, I hope y'all got a 360. And I'll see you on there. All right? Later.
So, Dharma Bros, Neil, New York. I have a quick comment regarding the episode last night. I think they finally answered a big question that's been on everyone's mind when Jack stated that when they come, he's going to blow them all away. I think we can finally put to rest who the gay character is. I, for one, won't be watching this episode. Thank you.